active.
So it's 559.
I ran, was it 2 or 3 years ago? I ran, it wasn't bad. I had to walk back all the way up to control.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you.
I was cold.
Oh, was that cold, huh?
It was that cold.
It's going to be nice this weekend.
You're going to the parade?
High of 31, low of 17.
Wow. Good running weather.
Yeah, that's nice.
As only a farmer could do. Yeah, it's the exact amount of weather. Should I ask how much precipitation is there?
Less than an inch on Friday morning. It'll clear up by this afternoon, by the afternoon.
Yeah, cold snow and then cooking.
I didn't realize that. I could just call Herb Litz. You would just know.
I have 3 different weather services on my phone.
You probably all say something different.
And then I got a few broken bones to tell me.
That's how you feel it.
All right. All right, let's go.
It's 5:59. You're talking about
that.
We leave
6 o'clock.
No, no, look at that.
There you go. All right. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone for coming. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. March 8th, 2017. The time is now 6 p.m. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Berkey?
Here.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Lapp?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Chairman Maloney?
Here. Everyone was distributed the minutes via email, I believe, at the end of last week. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes as presented?
On Resolution 47, Legislator DeLon voted yes, and then he also voted no.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like that would be Jim.
Don't let my wife know that.
So it's got to be one or the other.
Was the resolution, did the resolution pass, or was it deleted, or was it defeated?
It was defeated.
And then that case,
imagine that.
48?
47, was that CBGB?
You mean CDBG?
Yeah,
CBGB would be a bar.
It's true that CBGB was a bar. Oh, votes against. Oh, you know what? It's just duplicates, though, saying that...
No, if you look up on top, he's listed
as
voting
in favor.
No and voting
yes.
Yep,
that's an error. I will correct that, absolutely.
Okay. I would check the signed copy of the resolution. So
absolutely. But I think
yes
that was
no.
Probably a copy and paste error on my part as I go.
Any other changes to the minutes?
I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Legislator Rodriguez. All those in favor?
Aye.
Good catcher.
Opposed?
Well, you can't
thank
vote
you.
Twice.
We have the pleasure this evening, everyone. Mr. Steve Rice from the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee is going to present us with his annual report.
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
The floor is yours.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I know that I did not provide an electronic copy in time for people to read it before this meeting necessarily, with all the reading that you folks have to do. The first 3 pages of the report are my summary of what happened over the past year. I didn't take credit for everything, but I tried to focus on the things that members of the committee contributed to in their other duties. We only built 1.25 miles of rail trail last year, but it was an important part because it's the part that starts Ellenville towards Kingston.
Yes.
And it moved it towards the Department of Corrections property that we've been fighting for years to get across. So it's very important. There's another 14.5 miles in the pipeline, if you will, for the Ashokan Rail Trail, the Kingston Rail Trail, and the Hudson Valley Rail Trail. When those items are completed, we'll be at 60 miles of rail trail. That could happen in 2017. It may go into 2018 from the way things are unrolling. There was one setback for rail trails due to the temporary closure of the bridge on the O&W Rail Trail at Springtown Road. A temporary fix has been designed and presented. It's not quite approved. There's a pending fix following that. There's a permanent fix that's kind of holding up the temporary fix. But a long-term solution is in the pipeline as well as a short-term solution. That's a big hole in the 22-mile leg of ours. The other thing that is the success that I feel best about are that we have two organizations that have come online. The O&W Rail Trail Coalition of Municipalities formed. Seven municipalities from Kingston all the way down Pelhamville to take over the stewardship and development of the O&W. On the second page is a map that we're using. That is a standard that we've all kind of settled on. We're looking at wayfinding and the way to make our image the same from start to end, so that even though people can navigate there electronically, they feel that they're on the right course by constant feedback of that type. And then the Village of Ellenville and the Town of Warsing completed an inter-municipal agreement with Parks and Trails Commission. It's a direct result of the Ellenville Million funding. It's going to move the money that's coming to trails ahead onto the trail, and it's really moving fast. As we talk, they're actually building this trail that I'm talking about that's in the pipeline. But we have a short-term agreement with the Department of Corrections, but we have to get everything done within a certain period of time, fencing and everything, and we're very motivated to get it done. I'd like to point out that the resolution of the county farm feasibility resulted in a $20,000 grant this year. We've applied for 3 years previously without result. I believe Legislator Lapp helped one of our members update that legislation this year. The Kingston Land Trust is moving ahead. There's a lot of clearing going along. We're developing the various quarters. Again, these are pieces that we hope to weave into a whole before the end of 2018. The Open Space Institute has started the River to Ridge Trail out of New Paltz, headed up the ridge. Not in this report, because they don't report to me, but I know, is that they are developing the carriage trails from Minnewaska to Sam's Point. Again, not in this report, but it's going to happen. With the Ellenville Million and the plans for a Berm Road Park, we'll have a park that connects Sam's Point and Minnewaska and the O&W Rail Trail. So we'll have a gateway to the Dunks there rather than on the top of 4455 or at the top of Mobile. And that could be a big economic driver for our region. I touched on the analysis of the Parks and Recreation's trail count. Again, early participated in their trail counts are estimated to be at 135,535 people per year. We had two guest speakers this year in January. I had Ernie Hunt come in and speak to his support of Resolution 4888, and he spoke to his desire to maintain the history of the corridor going forward, whether his railroad company was approved for a contract or not. And then Mike Hines stopped in April to discuss his commitment to connecting our trails. It's nice that we have all of these trails in disparate places, but we've got to connect them up to make a transportation or recreation system. And that's resulted in tangible results on Lucas Avenue and Route 299. So then we move into the separate reports. That's where the detail and the meat is. And I am willing to engage to hear whether if there's a better report format for you folks. Don't go into big numbers about grants and that sort of thing, even though that data came towards me. But I try to make it in summary what you can read and wrap your minds around, but not leave out too much technical detail.
Are there any questions for Mr. Rice? question.
Not a question, just a statement. You do a great job. So impressed with the committee.
Nice.
Yeah. And we reached out to your colleagues at your church. Why other counties can't do as good a job as you do. So kudos.
Well, we've been very lucky. The one thing that's missing in my report are the thank yous. The ability to call up the planning department and be called back within an hour, the ability to reach out to the executive's office and get a response same day, ability to contact any legislator and they get back to me. That's big. That's all of those, you know, frustrating roadblocks that might be in your way are gone, because it seems like everybody is kind of behind this effort and want to see it move forward in a organized way. I will ask, you know, at some point for you to consider that we actually start getting a budget item in the budget going forward. One of the things that we didn't budget and we really feel we need money for is something called wayfinding, which is more than just signage. It's a whole system of organizing your signs and your logos so that they pull people to the things that you want them to be on, and then you affirm that they're in the right place along the journey. That's my shorthand version of what wayfinding is.
I also just wanted to mention that the activation of all these communities and the involvement that they all have in trails planning is very evident at the Greenway, where approximately half of the applications that came in last fall were from Ulster County, and we won more than any other county. In fact, I think we won a third of all the grants from 13 counties. So everyone's looking at Ulster County as an example of how active people are in the trails community.
What was the approximate total of the monies received through grants last year?
I don't recall. I
ballpark?
For Greenway, it wasn't a lot. These are usually like $15,000 grants. But what they do, like the Hudson Valley Rail Trail, for example, or the Kingston Land Trust, they start a process of study, and then those studies lead to larger grants from CFA and Department of Transportation and so forth. So they end up being leveraged into very large amounts. So, for example, the Green Line started out as a project of Kingston Land Trust, and they got a $10,000 grant or something like that from Greenway. It was the first grant they ever got. Then they got one from the Land Trust Alliance. Then they got several from the CFA. And this year, Kingston won $3.3 million in outdoor resources related, including complete streets, trails, and waterfronts. So it really does add up to a lot.
Very good. Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Rice, one of the things that I'm just going to bring up is that we also kind of need some help and attention to be brought to the Walk Hill Valley Rail Trail, specifically, of course, the bridge in Springtown. And myself and Legislator DeLon met with Senator Bonasek, and working with our municipal partners, we've probably got him on the hook for $100,000. Mr. DeLon has actually also approached Assemblyman Cahill with some other folks in the community, and he's actually working on an allocation as well. As an organization, we need some help to be able to kind of bring more attention to this issue, and it can't just continue to be, you know, government. I don't know if there are things within your group, whether or not there's fundraising or at the very least bringing additional awareness to what is right now a major hiccup in our system.
We're not set up to do fundraising, and I wouldn't shoulder that responsibility in a public venue. If we want to set up a separate 501(c)(3) to deal with this, or a municipal offshoot of that, we could look at that. But again, I think that's beyond our purview, and this problem, we're going to continue to keep awareness on it. It's a gap in our halfway in the point of our longest segment. But again, if there's something I should be doing differently to get money for, I'd like to hear that. I mean, I'm a novice politically. I'm a better trail builder than I am a politician, for sure. But I would like to know if there are resources that I should be pursuing.
I think you don't give yourself enough credit, sir. It's one of these things where, I mean, I know the town of New Paltz seems dead set on trying to get money out of the county. The county, as we all know, is already putting in a good amount of money with regards to rail trails to get us from the town of Lloyd over into New Paltz. So I'm not exactly sure that we're in a position to go throw another $200,000 or so at a problem, so to speak.
I don't think it's money at this point.
Yeah.
I spoke with Michael Reed, who is the president of that organization today. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot because this is a big concern of mine. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we have the engineering clearances for the temporary hurdle over the pending the permanent fix. Again, I'm something I watch, not daily, but certainly every week I have contact about this to see where it is. It's an unacceptable blockage. People are not observing it. They're actually going around it,
mm-hmm.
creating a liability hazard
yep.
for everybody involved. So, I'm staying on top of it, and I don't know that money is going to fix it right now. We have a lot of money waiting in the wings to get this done, actually. It's just a matter of overcoming the differences between the town government and one thing and another, and I think we're pretty close. I expect that this will be open in the spring, or I'll be making a lot of noise.
From your lips to God's ears.
Any other questions for Mr. Rice? Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Next on the agenda, Suzanne Holt, Office of Business Services. Suzanne?
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
So, I guess I'm here for two reasons. The contract between the Planning Department and the Economic Development Alliance is on your agenda, as well as I come quarterly just to update you on everything that we're doing in the Office of Economic Development, as well as the Economic Development Alliance and the IDA. So would you like to
yep.
start with?
Sure.
So with the Office of Economic Development, that's basically the one-stop shop, the one door for any business, municipality, nonprofit who needs assistance in the county. We're here to help them, as well as businesses that are thinking about relocating to Ulster County or businesses that are starting up here. And so with the IDA, any of those businesses that I just mentioned that are eligible, or nonprofits that are eligible for IDA benefits, we help them as well with applications. The IDA has been really busy. There's quite a few tourism property projects that are going on, and they're around the county. So we're working with tourism properties in Chandaken right now, in the town of Ulster, and in Saugerties on applications. In addition, we've recently had some interest from a manufacturer that's currently located in High Falls but is relocating to Gardner, and another one that's in the it's either the city of Kingston or the town of Ulster, right on the border. But quite a few who express interest and who apply at the end of the day don't move forward for, whether it's financial, if there's fees involved with the IDA, so the project has to be big enough, or for other reasons. But there's been a significant uptick in IDA interest, and so we've been working with a lot of bigger businesses on those projects as well. With the Economic Development Alliance, we are, again, I guess this is contingent on the contract, but contracting with Luminary Publishing. We went to RFP last year and chose Luminary, which is a local company located here in Uptown Kingston, to do the marketing and advertising for economic development for the county for next year, or for this year. We've just had a kickoff last week. We held two kickoff meetings with the board members, and we're going to be focusing on four target areas. The first is film. I think most of you are aware, the county executive, and with your assistance and a lot of other elected officials, went to bat and got the state to increase the tax credit for films in Ulster County, as well as the surrounding counties. Ulster County also has the advantage of not having the MTA tax, so it's actually, you know, cheapest here. We have the severe advantage, and we're trying to capitalize on that as much as possible. What we're hearing is that it's really working, that January and February, the hotels are usually empty. Right now, they're full with films. We also just got our first union film in Ulster County, and as long as anybody can remember. So before we had this tax credit, we were seeing films in the $300,000 to $500,000 range. Since we got the tax credit, we're seeing films in the $1 to $2 million range, and then this union film will be over $2 million. It's expected to be over $2 million. And that includes that, you know, the way it benefits us is that local people can work on the films, can be in the films, as well as the hotels, the caterers, you know, and all kinds of other services. So that's really exciting, and that's going to be one of our big pushes for attraction. We're hoping to do a really professional video that will be distributed to the site selectors and other people who choose where to locate films. And we're also in conversations with Laurent, who's the head of the Hudson Valley Film Commission, to modernize his website, to really enhance his website. I know we have to be careful with county dollars and whatnot, but that's where the site selectors are going. They're reaching out to Laurent, and they're going to his website, and we need to make sure it has everything on Ulster County. We need to make sure it's more appealing and that it has everything that Ulster County has to offer on it. So so film is a really big push, and I think we're getting off to a great start. The second thing, the second cluster that we're targeting is tech, high tech. We started that last year with the tech entrepreneurs. We are going to continue to target them as well. We're going to hopefully continue to sponsor the Hudson Valley Tech Meetup. I went last night. It's there were close to 200 people there, I think. It's they rotate around. They go to every other month they're in Kingston, but they also go to Newburgh, and they're thinking about going to Hudson soon. They also started this year a student tech meetup at SUNY New Paltz, where they're having student tech presenters and student tech audience. So they're definitely growing. So I'm hoping to that the county will sponsor that activity, as well as the Catskill Conf, which is a three-day conference that Evolving Media Network has put on for the past 2 years. We sponsored it, and we've met people who have actually come from New York City to Catskill Conf, fallen in love with the region, and moved up here. So that's working as well, and we want to continue with those efforts. The third cluster is the value-added food manufacturers. We are targeting primarily New York City small craft food and beverage manufacturers who want more space, you know, are operating in the space that they're in. One of the reasons that we picked Luminary is because they actually have contacts at the what's called the Pfizer building in Brooklyn, which is a place where these, it's an incubator for these businesses. I'm going to go down with Luminary in the next few weeks and meet with some of the businesses there. We're also having an event at the end of March for Ulster County's, a networking event for Ulster County's craft food and beverage producers, and Luminary is helping us to invite people from New York City to that event as well. So that could be really exciting. And then the fourth cluster, which is really the smallest, but I think it has a lot of potential, is the people who have second homes here or vacation here. So we want to just continue with the efforts that we've made for the people who already love it here to think about moving here full-time and bringing their businesses. I think it's especially appealing when they have kids who start to be school-age kids. And I keep meeting people like that, and it seems like it's a worthwhile target. So with the EDA, what we do is we do the marketing and advertising, which I just talked about. We do education and training for Ulster County's current businesses. We do have a training coming up, which I brought some flyers for you all. It's the Department of Labor. We're doing this with the Office of Employment and Training. The Department of Labor is going to come up and answer business questions, you know, anything from the new minimum wage to internships to whatever anybody else has. I think we have about 45 people registered for this so far. It's on March 29th in the chambers. We're doing, in addition to that, so we have that event coming up. We have the food and beverage industry mixer coming up on The last week of April, we're going to do a grant workshop. We have Choice Words from a New Paltz-based grant writing company. It's going to do a workshop for businesses, nonprofits, and municipalities in preparation for the CFA, but not just with the CFA. Like, they'll talk about all different types of grants, and they'll do a introduction to grant writing and then three breakout sessions, one for businesses, one for nonprofits, and one for municipalities. And it looks like somebody from the Chazen Company, which is a local engineering company, is going to help with the breakout for the municipalities.
When is that again?
It's the last week in April. We're finalizing the invitation now. It's April 26th or 27th. And then we're going to do one on historic tax credits, and we have a few other ideas floating around. So tell me if I'm going into too much detail, but we're busy. There's a lot going on. And and then special projects. So the EDA is marketing and advertising, it's education and training, and then it's special projects. And the two special projects we have going on right now, one is the sale of county-owned property, so 300 Flatbush Avenue, we're in a contract with RUPCO, and they need zoning improvements, and they're going through the City of Kingston with that right now. 25 South Manor Avenue, we got an offer, but it wasn't significant. It wasn't enough to move and sell the building and do everything else. And then there's a piece of property over by Golden Hill that's also for sale. It's landlocked, but there's an easement. But so those are basically the three pieces of county and property that we're trying to sell. And then the other piece of the Economic Development Alliance is the Ellenville Million. And as you may recall, the Ellenville Million Committee recommended that the money be put into 9 different program areas. We've been functioning under that system, but some of the program areas haven't been moving, and so the EDA is now looking to realign some of that money. They will make a recommendation to the full legislature and needs legislative approval to move any of that money around, but we're focusing on that now.
We got an email on an update not too long ago.
2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. So every 3 months, I do a report with the Ellenville Million, an update. And so some of the components, the Hunt Memorial, they spent all their money. They did a beautiful job. Shadowland Theater is using it as a match to a CFA that they got, so they're moving along right now. The Parks Department, I think what Mr. Rice was talking about, connecting the rail trail to the Berm Road connection. They have all of their all of the Parks Department component money has been allocated, but they could use some more for signage, as well as a pavilion at the Berm Road Park that they think is really important. So we're thinking of potentially putting some more money into the Parks component. Marketing had $100,000. That's all been spent. So that's another potential area. Main Street Facades got $25,000. That's been awarded to 4 different projects, $6,250 each. I think there's like 5 more buildings in Ellenville. That seems like a really great way to leverage business owners to invest their own money. So that could probably use some additional funds as well. There was money put into broadband that we haven't spent at all. We are looking into a consultant to help the town of Ellenville to negotiate their franchise agreement. In the way that would, you know, be best suited for Ellenville and Worthing, so a piece of that may be spent that way.
No, I was going to wait for it to finish, but
I think you'll see in the report that certain program areas are done and moving along. Certain, the Economic Development Fund, we have an application right now from a restaurant, so we're just working with them to finalize their employment numbers. The grant is based on employment numbers and infrastructure investment. So we just need to know their employment numbers before we can figure out what they might be eligible for. And I think that's, and the revolving loan fund. I forgot to mention the revolving loan fund. It's also had quite a lot of interest. The county executive had a press event this summer with the chair of the committee was there, and that brought out a lot of interest for that fund. We have 2 very serious applications right now that we're trying to finalize for the committee, and then 3 or 4 that are talking about it. So I think I'm sure there's more, but I think if you want to ask questions, that would be great.
Hector, you had a question?
Yeah, no, and thank you, Suzanne. And I know you're trying every day to get all this done, and it's, I'm sure, a constant, seems like probably more things get added onto your plate. In the vein of hiring a consultant for the Ellenville Wolverston community with regards to dealing with Time Warner and the such, I mean, this is the thing that you and I think discussed about the need at a countywide level. And so I mentioned this, I know, also in the EDA as well, but I'm just kind of just repeating for the efficacy of the group here that everybody just understands. We actually have several communities that always have to negotiate, right, you know, franchise agreements. You've been on the town board. You mm-hmm. you know this intimately. Everybody here, I think, has set some level of familiarity. There's always been this sort of sense that some towns do better than others, right? You know, sort of the anecdotally, you know, Woodstock apparently gets the best deal. And I think that that's part of where even the Association of Towns has been sort of trying to work on this themselves to actually try to get almost like a unified contract for the entirety of the county. So in that way, no community kind of feels like they're getting short shrift, or that, you know, at the very least, all the towns are sort of getting fairly equal, you know, shares out of especially with this merger coming through.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think when last time we talked, that was the way I was leaning as well. But since then, it seems that a lot of the towns have varying needs, and so they don't all need the same thing. And so the advice that we're getting is that it makes more sense to go town by town. That it doesn't mean that we couldn't do a few towns that had a few different things, and then we could put together a Chinese menu, but that that Ellenville and Wolverston, just the way the towns are laid out, you know, we're also trying to help Hurley right now. Hurley's got some residents on Dug Hill Road, and you know, we're trying to help the residents that, and the businesses also, but, you know, we just happen to be working on this one particular project where it seems that every time we delve into a different town, they have a different set of issues.
But one of the things, and I can understand that, but also one of the things that, you know, we've got $150,000. Clearly, I'm not saying that you're advocating for using the whole 150 just for Ellenville and Worsing, but if we're going down the road of hiring a consultant, I'm just saying that at a certain point, we should probably be trying to make this available for all the towns. That's all. So.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be great.
So, meaning as opposed to us really focusing up on that one, maybe it really comes down to we should be looking at a general allocation for.
Well, that would be great if you had that kind of funding. We have it in the Ellenville Million for Ellenville. I'm not sure that we have it for the rest of the county, for the rest of the towns anywhere else at this moment.
Okay, we'll talk about this a little bit later.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you. I actually have a question. Regarding the film industry, do we have a handle on the kinds of talent that are here? Like, do we have, we kind of done a scan of who's out there? And
well, we're putting together an email. There is some information that Lauren has currently gathered. We're sending out an email next week to all the businesses in our database to say, are you interested in working on the film industry? You know, that they need everything from hairdressers to accountants to medics to, and also, are you unionized? So before we send out this email, we're right now reaching out to all the different unions. There's like a dozen or more unions that work on the films, and so trying to find out from them which members they have within a 75-mile radius of Kingston, and then how you become a member. So that when we reach out to our businesses, hopefully next week, we can say to them, are you a union member? And if not, are you interested in becoming a union member? And then we can help them to with that process. So we're trying to do the legwork now to get that information, you know, in the next week or two.
And don't forget the farms, because most of the films made to date were filmed on farms.
That's a great idea. Yeah, it'll go out to every business. And good it'll point. Say, do you have a site? Good do you have a... Yeah, no, that would be great.
I'll get filmed on my farm. The film's Cold Day in July. You can look it up on Netflix.
Oh, it's in, yeah, really? That's a recent one. That's great.
Okay. So maybe we don't want to tell all the other farms to point out the market.
But then every film would then look the same.
Hector, you had a
thank you. No, I, you know, everyone gets at times caught up with the whole with, you know, new. As a matter of fact, even in caucus and other places, I've sort of had the discussion of, like, I understand when we get to business attraction, and yes, Orange County gets its fair share, and Dutchess County gets its fair share. To a certain degree, you end up sort of like in like a race to the bottom. And so one of the things that I have brought up to you in the past, just just kind of maybe talk a little bit more about is, if you don't mind, you know, what we're doing with expansion retentions, you know, in terms of like what you've got sort of like percolating right now, if you, or I guess whatever you can share right now with the committee.
Sure. No, I think that we, expansions, yes, retentions, I don't have anybody, there's no crises. Mm-hmm. Right now, which,
okay.
is which is fabulous. No, it's fabulous. Yeah,
when
we're starting to worry about our retention, that's when we go into high gear and it's really.
I'll leave
my
county.
But quite a few expansions. We actually have, frustratingly, not enough properties, and we have some Ulster County businesses in two places that I'm thinking of right now fighting for buildings. So
and Saugerties is not an appropriate location for these guys, considering that they've got areas that could be developed.
Neither of them are interested in Saugerties. Right? Neither of these. We have two companies fighting for one location, and like four companies fighting for another location, and none of them are in Saugerties.
Or Town of Ulster, or anything like that. Okay.
No, two of them are in one of the projects is in the Town of Ulster.
Okay.
So one of them is the Town of Ulster, and one of them is in the city of Kingston. So, there's a lot of growth. I have the feeling that, and I don't have it documented anywhere, but I have the feeling that a lot of business owners were waiting for the economy to rebound, and then it started to rebound, but they still weren't feeling secure, and that they're starting to feel secure now. And so this one's hiring a few, that one's hiring a few. I'm getting I talk to Lisa Berger constantly from the Office of Employment and Training, trying to figure out who needs what and who we can get them from and where they are. And
What types of companies are the ones that are expanding right now?
It's really everything. It is. I mean, I can't say it's a particular industry. It's really across the board, and nonprofits as well. We're getting a number of job notices from nonprofits, but tourism facilities, manufacturing businesses. I don't want to mention names, but I'm just thinking about conversations.
Which is why I was asking.
But I've talked to, and even the Best Western, I can say, because they just wrote a letter saying how grateful they were to the Film Commission for the films, because they hired a lot more people over the winter than they would normally hire because they were full. But tourism facilities, manufacturing, I've talked to nonprofits. I would say they're all.
Is that actually helping with our attraction efforts in terms of we've got companies that are expanding? Are we sort of leveraging that at all with, you know, trying to go get, like we talked about, where, you know, company A is expanding, they're doing better. Hey, you know, one of their vendors who's nearby might be also looking to expand, and then trying to get all the pieces together here.
So as, you know, you and I discussed last week, we haven't used that method in quite a few years, but
okay.
We will consider that again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Resolutions. Resolution number 90, appointing a member to fill the vacancy of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. Any discussion? Let's see. And that person is James E. Quigley III, who's replacing Councilman Moore. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously.
Who's
the
Jim Quigley?
Sunning in Florida right at the moment. Resolution number 9, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Department of Planning. Okay.
Move.
I will
move.
Second.
Second. Back to you. Thank you.
Okay.
Any further questions, discussions? Anyone kind of, Dennis, you want to comment on it? No? Suzanne?
No questions.
Hector?
Okay. So, you know, per our internal discussions, and this is something that's, I think, sort of percolated a little bit with regards to asking to try to create a baseline so we can actually begin to evaluate the effectiveness of the EDA. And there was some language sort of, I think that sort of floated around that with some suggested ideas. And this also, I think, kind of gets back to our meeting in December when we had a discussion about trying to create metrics or some way to kind of go and measure the effectiveness of what we're doing with the EDA or what's happening in the EDA. So where I left it in terms of these discussions was that we would not set a number, but that we would actually ask for the EDA to report on the following things, I think, suggested by Suzanne and I think by the administration. And if you have that. Okay. If you all have it, and we all had it. What's that?
Well, I just, you said those are not suggested by me to be included in your contract.
No. I understand that, but the topics. No, I'm sorry.
After you had a conversation with Suzanne, I believe, last Friday, this document was...
Which I can share with the
group. Created. Do you have copies for everyone?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have it. If not, I can make both of them.
I do.
All
right.
But I just want to, if you don't mind, just make clear that this is OED, EDA, IDA. So this is a lot more than...
Well, we should just flip basically to the back, because that's what we're talking about in terms of economic indicators.
Well, Hector, one thing that... Okay. Do you want this to become part of a report or an actual report that would be created quarterly, biannually?
Sure. So I believe where we had kind of left off in the discussion was that we would sort of accept, generally speaking, these economic indicators, that it would be something that you would be reporting on, Suzanne, every other month, something to that effect, and that once we actually had gone through a year, we would now have an actual baseline to sort of work off of going forward. I mean, at one point, I thought maybe you use 2016 and compare 2016 to now 2017, but I also don't want to go and sort of force the hand, I guess, on that one. I think there was a sense that if we did a year's worth of reporting in terms of 2017, right, then at that point, by the end of 2017, you'd have something for 2018 at that point to go and sort of look back and say, fine, you need to be able to kind of grow upon these numbers in these sectors.
Okay. Comments?
I think that if you're looking at an overall picture of economic development in general, that these indicators are important. I think these indicators are important no matter what, but I think that they don't, you can't take just what the EDA does and expect that to move the needle on these indicators. And so we had discussed this last week, that this is, the EDA is attraction, the EDA is education training, and the EDA is special projects. It's not an overall economic development. The Office of Economic Development is the overall economic development office for the county.
Okay. And in that vein, the EDA is also staffed to the IDA. The EDA is staffed to the revolving loan fund. The EDA it is selling county properties. It's doing a whole host of functions, not just, just a few. It's doing virtually all the economic development functions at this point.
So really it would be a report from the Office of Business Services with all of that criteria.
Well, the reason why I just decided
down to EDA.
Well, but at the end of the day, it's the clearinghouse. The EDA itself is the area. Well, we've been having a battle over revolving loan. Not that I'm going to get into that right now, but, where is it? Where is it reporting to? EDA? It's like, well, that's not exactly what we signed up for, but that's it, though. It's part of its purview now. So that's a thing that, we discussed this in the past. So it's one of these things where clearly it's the main reporting, because the Office of Economic Services is doing one function in-house, right? But it's also involved with EDA, and EDA is what has the other pieces, right? EDA is where, for example, Ellenville Million, comes out of. Mm-hmm. EDA is where, I understand, yeah. And it's appointed by the executive, It's one of these things where, so this seemed the vehicle that we're bringing this up here, and that's why we had asked for economic indicators coming from you guys as opposed to us trying to impose. I would have gone through with three or four of these, right, just because what we had done previously with UCDC, things like retentions or expansion on number of jobs, median income, that kind of stuff, that were all in previous contracts with UCDC. But I didn't want to go and just say that one thing which we used to do is what's applicable now, this is clearly a much more larger list.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like me to make that in the form of a motion, I can do that for...
Can I just ask a question?
Oh, sure.
I was just looking at these indicators, and I don't see anywhere foreclosures, bankruptcies, company closures, or companies that have moved away. I see the good news. I was just wondering if there might be...
The reason why I'm personally... I didn't create this list, although I do support, you know, this as a list. The reason why I think I'm personally just a little loath is that then you become... I'm not trying to say that, oh, you can only account for the good and kind of, you know, attribute it to the EDA, but there are so many times when the bad has nothing where government could never have saved, you know, certain things. To give an example,
yes, we
were able to kind of say salvage things like, you know, Gillette Creamery, but there was no real tangible way to go and save Colony Liquor, for example, right? I'm using really old examples, but it's only because, for example, Colony Liquor, we literally even ended the IDA's prevailing wage requirement just to keep Colony Liquor, and they still moved. You know, at the end of the day, it's a Green County. So it's sort of one of these things where...
If these data are easy to get, they're all published. Not all, I guess, people move away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we know about it, if we have anecdotal information about companies that are closing, they would just be useful for us to know about it, that's all.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not meant to be make work.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful for the record for us to know those kinds of things.
So, Hector, what are you saying, that you like quarterly report?
Well, the point
of these indicators. These indicators came out of your office.
This is a draft, and my hope was, you know, we can give it to you and give you some time to comment on it. That you know, I can prepare the first report based on this by the end of this month, and so my goal would be to provide you with your first report at the beginning of April. And so I wanted, this was, you know, meant to be, you know, just a list of options, and you can choose what you want. You can tell me, you know, you can suggest other things, you can take away. But my other, you know, point that I want to make is that I just don't think the details of what goes in this report belongs in the EDA contract. You know, because this is OED and IDA and everything else, I'm happy to agree with you on what you want, and I'm happy to amend it as things go on. But it doesn't seem appropriate to be spelled out in the contract. Just like, for example, the Ellenville Million details weren't spelled out in the contract. You know, you asked for quarterly reporting. I put together a quarterly report, and it seems to be, you know, what everybody's wanted, and there's never been any issues with it. I'm happy collegially to work with you to put together a report that's going to meet your needs. I would prefer that it's not spelled out in the contract, because then it's going to be hard to change if you want different things or more or less. Or
true, but part of the problem becomes, and again, this is not to be mean, but you know, it's a thing where when it's spelled out in the contract, it has to be done, as opposed to right now, you know, we're doing it with goodwill and, you know, trust and all sorts of other things. But you know, at a certain point, when it's in black and white, it's in black and white. I know you came from contract management at one point, so I know you can appreciate that part of it.
Hector, I mean, I don't know if every detail would have to be included. I think, for example, when things come up around the table, very frequently it's legislator Bartels who ask for a report, and I think it's a good practice in general that we get reports on things, but I don't think I think it's true we might find certain data are a waste of time to get if it takes your office a lot of time to collect and it doesn't tell us anything. Then, you know, we can all agree that that's not necessarily worth collecting. Although I think the statement that a quarterly report that's agreed to,
I think
parties,
that's already in the contract.
Right.
There already is a statement that you get a quarterly report.
Then.
Well, but this would be more than just quarterly, though, in terms of the reporting. But,
well, if
you know,
then you want to change how frequently the report is.
No, but it's also a thing where, I mean, if we have to, you know, look, if we have to kind of do this almost as a, because I guess the issue is about whether it's in this contract or not. I mean, if we have to go put forward a resolution next month to codify this, are we okay with that?
Yeah.
All right.
And I think, Hector, I can say that, and I'm not speaking for either office, but any information that we've requested, we have received.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, if you'd like something less than this, more than this,
right now,
and believe me,
part of the reason, I mean, unless it's something very specific, part of the reason why I wanted to just accept, and again, this is even, as I said in December, I said, you know, fine, then, you know, you pick the metrics, because I'm not here to go micromanage, but I am here at a certain point, we can't just go and say, we're going to kick money towards something without measuring if it's effective or not. And that's true whether it's your department, any department, you know, and so that's why I'm glad that you did put together these indicators. So if there's a commitment, Mr. Chair, that we do this then for next month, then we put together a resolution to this effect.
Yes, we will.
Good job.
These are very interesting. I'm a planner, so I find these indicators to be useful, but I'm more interested in, you know, what we've heard about. I mean, I'm interested in them. I'm very interested as well, as we mentioned, we were talking earlier, about the strategies, you know, how you're moving forward with implementing the strategies for the sectors. So are you reaching out to the clusters, or are you looking at, are you asking them what do they need in order to work well, for example, getting into unions, or I think that's the kind of thing I'm much more interested in. So as long as we're hearing about that, I find that to be very useful. So I'm glad we're going in the direction of hearing about the strategies for each of the sectors, or not sectors, but the
clusters,
the strategic cluster areas that you've focused on.
Hector, you and I will sit down. We'll put a resolution together. Right. We'll trim it. We'll expand it. We'll get to them, you know, what indicators, what reports you want, and we'll do a resolution for next month.
Okay.
Great. And then let me just so this is the working draft. This is, unless I hear from anybody between now and the end of March, this is what we're going to provide at the beginning of April. So
when's the cutoff for March?
Resolution deadline.
Yeah. It's got to be what?
Probably the
25th, something like that.
It's probably going to be.
Could
it's 29th.
Could I just ask, regarding the commercial referrals to the planning board, is that just a number or is that a list?
It's a number.
Can we get. Because, I mean, that is public information, isn't it, if it's a referral to the county planning board?
Yeah.
What?
It's a database. I mean,
you get the report.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so we can get that.
I find that interesting because, you know where it is by town, and then it's interesting.
If it's public,
Jennifer, you get a report now of everything that goes before the county planning board. Everybody does every month.
Yeah.
Although it helps something that's focused up.
If it's in this.
So then, just one other thing. I know you just got the Ellenville Million report. I do that.
I read it.
You normally get it. Like you just got it in March. I'm going to move that up a month. So you'll get it again next month, and then I'll start to roll it into this. And then we do the Paris. We do the Resolution 157 report on the IDA. So I will probably roll that in as well, so that you're getting, you know, that's a yearly report, but you'll get that at the same time as the next report, so that they're all rolled in together.
When's Paris have to be into the state?
Paris is in at the end of March.
Which is why we have to do our training.
And then we do 157 right after that. So we'll put Resolution 157, which is the IDA report. We'll put the Ellenville Million report, and then we'll put these indicators in as well. And so it'll all just be one report, and we'll hope to have it for you, say, by April 15th for the quarter ending the end of March. And then it'll go from there quarterly.
Sound good?
Yep.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Resolution 99, then a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm sorry. So carried unanimously. Moving on.
That's right.
Do you have an agenda that still has
any writing on it?
No, okay. Sorry. Looking through. No, I have one of those. Resolution number 108, approving the execution of a contract amending, causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county and National Business Equipment LLC, Department of IS.
Move it.
Second. Sylvia.
Hold on. Let me get to my call stuff with your notes.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The National Business Equipment is the company that
I'll second it.
Sorry. Okay. This is the company that we lease all our multifunction devices, so we're adding seven devices.
Can you just expand what the multifunction device is?
Oh, it's the printer, copier, fax, and scanner devices that we replace all the old print devices that were costly to maintain.
This is in your location, not throughout the county?
Throughout the whole county, the whole fleet. And then we have National Business Equipment Service and support them for this month in cost, and it includes all toner and maintenance and anything that they need except paper.
Okay. Any questions for Sylvia? Hector?
We really had a need for that many printers and that many multifunction devices?
Yes.
In this day and age, we're so digital, it's like a whole thing where, quite honestly, this is almost...
Right in the middle
this
of
is
the
all, I, No. Well, I was going to say, this, and that actually gets to my comment of, this is like practically antiquated to the point where we actually actively debate whether we should just get iPads or whatever. I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
You have more things to go fix. But that said, it's this. I'm just kind of dumbfounded that we're actually increasing... I mean, I can understand if we were just replacing a bunch of them and, you know, whatever, but you're telling me we're actually increasing the number.
Yes, and when we first did this, we decreased dramatically from what we had before and consolidated and put them in centralized locations. So, you know, as we're feeling our way around, some of them weren't adequate, so we needed to, you know, bump them up, and then we would take that one and move it somewhere else, and we do a little juggling. And then some cases, the plan just didn't need to be, so we had to monitor. And then one of them to the legislature.
I think it's your printer, Hector.
I use the one actually out there. That's why
your card.
That's right.
Any other questions for Sylvia?
Be efficient. So this is this 24,000 or almost 25,000 is on top of the what million or whatever we're spending? 1,115,000
Over the course of the 3 years. About 8,000
a year. Okay, and just to make sure I'm just on the same page here. So, like, are the machines all in schedule? Well, actually, I guess it's on page 3 of the agreement where they give the breakout list here. So it's going to, like, South, to Information Services, Employment and Training, Social Services, Department of Health, Sheriff Department? That's where these are all going?
Not at Information Services. We have the sheriff, their new substation, Walt Hill. We have social services down in Ellenville. We have one in the Child Protective Services and Social Services, the one here at the legislature, and two at Emergency Communications, the 911 center.
Because I was assuming that this whole 3/1/2018 to 9/30/2018 was what we were looking at, or that we were looking at the very least part of the, you know, 6/1/2016 to 2/28/2017, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow you.
I'm actually just trying to follow along, make sure I understand.
Uh-huh.
So I apologize if I'm confusing you. If you go on, because we're pages 3 to 4, so I'm saying, is it these machines here that we're talking about? Because all I read is basically where they're...
I think you got to go into pages 5 through 9.
Item 4 on page 3 describes the invoices that we have them break it down into. That's all that is. Just to show that they do the service for us. The invoice, instead of one big invoice, we do an invoice for every reimbursable department and then the whole panel. So that's just describing that nice service that they... for us.
Okay, because, you know, the problem of this is, you know, where, you know, I'm not saying that you are hiding something, but it's almost like hiding something in plain sight. It's like, oh, let me just deluge the entire thing, and this is like virtually every machine that we have for the full million. I'm trying to find that, you know, I was just trying to find on here the specific machine. So, I mean, is it 7 machines?
I see what you're saying.
6 machines? What?
7.
All right, 7, right?
Yes.
And then each amount, like, so for example, in for number D in through here, at least it tells me, I guess it's still not accurate, but whatever, but that, you know, the sheriff's office, that one's the one for 3,400, I'm rounding up. You know, the one for Department of Health is, you know, 12, you know, 1235, you know, so that's what we're getting, right? That's what we're doing here?
No. Wait, let me see. 3,193. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. D. 4D is the one that we're doing.
Okay. All right. Good enough. I like to know what I'm voting on, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's all right. I think if it was presented differently, it would be easier.
But then, Sylvia, you're the one presenting.
Yeah.
You gotta take ownership of that.
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I am. So
okay.
I'll present it differently next time. This is okay. Just what the contract looks like. So I'll add backup documentation
okay.
So that it's more clear.
What we're doing. Okay.
Excuse me, I'm just a resident of Ulster County, but I'm not really clear. I understood what Hector was saying, but could you just give me a little background? Because I just
doesn't work.
Excuse me, Miss.
I don't have the right to.
No. Just during the, it's the legislators at the table.
Got it. I'm sorry.
If you'd like to speak at the end of the meeting, you'd be more than happy to. I'm sorry. Well.
We're being more dramatic now. Let's move this along.
All right, Hector, any other questions?
I'm good.
All right. Are there any other questions for Sylvia? There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution number 109. Approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and the IBM Corporation Department of Information Services.
Move.
Second.
This is the 8th amendment. Extend term of aggregate for hardware maintenance. $43,899. Sylvia?
Well, Carl's here electronically, so it's okay.
Yeah.
he's actually here virtually. If you want, I can call him up.
No.
You sure?
Nope.
This is for the two mainframe servers?
Four. Yeah, we have four IBM System I. Two of them run the public safety system, and two of them run... they did run the old Domino and Lotus Notes, but they also have applications for the county clerk, the health department, the sheriff's office, and I know I'm forgetting somebody.
Let the record reflect, by the way, whenever she says Lotus Notes, I go into a seizure.
So, several other applications.
Okay. What falls under public safety on the first set?
The police records, the corrections management, emergency communications, computer-aided dispatch and records management, the in-car access from the police. That's also used by local PDs as well as the sheriff's department. There's different modules for case management, for mugshots, for the list goes on and on. Civil module. So there's quite a bit of stuff on there.
It's in the email. You can read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any other questions for Sylvia? Any questions for Sylvia? I'm sorry. Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, Sylvia, you know, look, I'm going to vote for this, but it's just I understand that it costs money to run an IS department, especially in this day and age. That's not, you know, but we spend a lot on contracts on outside vendors, and it's like one of these things where, you know, especially, I'm not trying to say that certain sensitive things should be on a cloud service, okay? I understand having a physical hard server, the value of that, but it's just at a certain point, you know, this is becoming more and more of an issue. And I mean, we talked about this last year as well, so it's not anything new.
Each time we purchase a new system, we do an evaluation as to whether it meets the criteria for a good cloud application. and there's
or things that you can handle in-house. I don't, you know, I realize that some of this stuff is highly technical, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a cost, you know, there's easy graph to say, you know, the cloud costs go up in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
The inside costs start high and then go up in a less steep line. So there's a point where they cross.
It depends on whether we're counting steps for personnel, but that's okay.
Yep.
All right.
You good actor?
I'm good as I'm going to be.
Very good. Any other questions for Sylvia? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution 110, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate contract amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County and Environmental Systems Research Institute, Department of Information.
Come
on. Want me to take this one?
Sure.
Move and second. This is all your GIS software. It's called ESRI.
Yeah,
we know.
And I have a license. Mine costs $1,000 a year, so 21 for how many locations?
Yeah, we have public works, health, real property, finance.
Give me a password.
Trust me, the cats are mad.
And it's also used for the partial viewer that the public accesses and for the recreation site on the website.
Okay. All the maps you see, all the whatever layers you want.
Our centerfold in National Geographic magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Quite proud of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we restrict the planning department's usage, by the way? Can we actually save a couple bucks by doing that or no?
I don't know if that would help.
So.
No, it wouldn't reduce the cost.
We actually get a free license for one of our licenses that are actually free because of a transportation MPO. So it's provided by New York State DOT.
You're welcome.
We actually share that license with DPW as well.
That's it, Dennis. Tell me how you're saving money.
Any questions or explanations needed?
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Moving on. Resolution 111. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with West Publishing, Department of IS.
Oh.
Looks like the law books for county attorney.
It's actually online. Well, it does include paper as well, but the majority of it is online access to legal research and documentation.
Okay.
And it's shared by several members of departments. If I can get them there. County attorney, DA, planning, comptroller, legislature.
By the way, you actually have the list here. Next time, just cut and paste.
I
do. It's just cut and paste. That's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Try it. Backing up a little. I'm sorry, Hector. You made the motion.
Yeah, I actually
made the second.
Is that what happened? I don't remember that happening. But for the record, why not? You know, Mr. Chairman, to make you happy, why not? So can we cut some of these back and save a couple bucks?
This is completely negotiated between the county attorney and the department.
But some of the people,
involved.
I don't know if some of the people even work here anymore.
No, it was completely redone. So the county attorney put a lot of time in working this out. So
but,
I'm confident that there's...
Well, does Deborah Robbins still work for us? Because I could have sworn that she's an attorney who works for a land use guy in Kingston.
I don't know who Deborah Robbins
is. She did intern in the county attorney's office at one point, so that's what I'm asking if this list is current or not.
Well, Tina
Rickoff
is a private attorney, but I know she...
But I don't know if she's a PI.
She
could
also
be a public
defender.
She
does
family court work.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about these people and why they were chosen. This is all the county attorney's...
Can we just verify with the county attorney as to all these people are, in fact...
Still with us?
Still with us, then.
Yes, please, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Do we have to give Elliot West Florida?
I'm sure the controller would like to read up on the laws that pertain to his department.
Sure he would. All right.
as does all these other departments, purchasing.
Yeah, but let's verify that all these people are actually are.
Absolutely.
So, Mary, are you really with that? Do you want me to?
I can do that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Pending the determination that every one of the people listed on the list is verified with the county attorney, are there any other questions? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. And it will be subject to receiving from the county attorney.
The most up-to-date list.
So. Resolution 119, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a state assistance contract with the State of New York Department of Environmental Conservation for grant funding for the Butternut Cove Culvert Rehabilitation and Slope Stabilization Project along the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor.
So moved.
Very good.
Good night, Sylvia.
Good night, Sylvia. Good night. Take care. Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion? Dennis, anything to comment?
I would say that it's about a $329,000, about $330,000 grant. Estimated engineering costs are about $750,000.
Who's the engineer?
It's Barton LaJudice. It's being done under the contract for the remainder for the rest of the corridor. It's part of the whole UND corridor design. And we anticipate that we'll be at 70% plans by that by this summer. And we'll have to go through the environmental work and move it from there.
I guess I should just be happy that I've been hearing Bernier and Larios every so often, so clearly you're moving it around a little bit as opposed to just sole sourcing it these days.
You know, we did these by RFP and committee in terms of choosing consultants.
What were the other three?
On this one, I don't remember. It's been that while back, but there was three, as I recall. Probably, I don't think HBEA did on this one. I think Brendan Pearson did bid. I'm trying to think who else did bid, but it's been a while since this contract has been out there for a while. We did come back and amend the contract to include the not only this design, but the design for the Oilfield Bridge as well.
Thank you, Dennis. Any questions for Dennis? Hector?
Thank you. So how big an area is this again, Dennis? Please remind me. I'm sorry.
The bridge itself is going to be about, I think it's around 70 feet. Okay. It's replacing a culvert that is undersized and is currently, I've got some pictures here, it's currently in the, it has, the wing walls are all gone on it. And this is the current shape of the culvert that's out there. And so we've worked with the design group. Originally thought we were going to just go in and actually rehab the culvert.
Okay.
The culvert is well past the ability being rehabbed because of its under design work, et cetera. The thought was that we actually priced out an idea of replacing the culvert with an in-kind culvert. That's more expensive, and we work with the department and the design engineers to daylight the stream. It makes everyone a lot more happier with regard to this. So we are daylighting the stream, and we're designing this so that it can handle rail. The abutments will be designed to handle rail traffic in the future if necessary.
I want you to know that Herbie could do this for about 50% cheaper, by the way.
How bad is the culvert?
It's pretty bad.
And it's undersized.
It's undersized, and it's got a torsion twist in it. It's a concrete barrel culvert, and it's got a torsion mm-hmm. twist in it. So they looked at it, and they looked at trying to fix it versus replace it versus working through a different design. And when we interviewed consultants, some of the consultants came up with a whole host of different type of design options. And when we chose, we asked the consultant that we chose to explore all the design options that were presented by the various consultants, and they came back and said, we believe that one of the design options, which is the daylighting, makes the most sense. And it reduced the cost from about $1.1 million down to about $750,000.
You mean daylighting, open cut?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what we're going to have now is essentially a bridge. We're going to replace the culvert with a bridge.
Dennis, any...
Because there is new technology out now that if it wasn't undersized...
Yeah, they look at relining it.
Yeah, you could actually increase the strength. You could take the whole rest of it apart, and it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, we did look at it.
Bridge fabrication facility. Are we doing any of the work?
Say that. I'm sorry.
Are we doing the work?
Sandale.
We don't have, this is, we're in design right now. We'll be back to you on, this is just for the grant, we'll be back to you for the contracts for the for building the bridge and the trail and everything else.
An absolutely perfect spot to use one of the existing deck panels of the existing Tappan Zee Bridge. Absolutely perfect.
Can you send it up?
Dennis, you didn't.
Yeah, it's getting it in there. I mean,
the one has a pickup truck, so I think he can help.
Dennis, the Vandale Road property, the bridge fabrication facility?
Yes.
Will they be able to build that part of the bridge?
We don't believe we're going to be that. It's that kind of bridge. We believe it's going to be a pedestrian level bridge with a different loading capacity on it.
Okay.
So that's what's going to get put back. It's a prefabricated bridge that gets put back. It's a lot cheaper that way.
Right.
Right.
This is a walking bridge that can hold the train. Very good. Any other questions for Dennis?
I've got a couple, if I may, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to just let the committee know that we're in the process of working with the transit folks at UCAT in looking at their capital needs. And one of the things that has come up is that we have an ability to apply for something called 5311 funds. It's for the capital bus needs. There was a webinar today with respect to that, and we found out today that we need an authorizing resolution to submit. We may be back to you. I'm pretty sure we will be back to you, and I hope we have the committee's support for a late resolution. The grant is due in the middle of April before the April deadline for our meeting. We anticipate we're going to ask for somewhere between $250,000 to $350,000. We'll ask for as much as they'll let us ask for, to be quite frank with you. But we don't know yet until we're going through the program of projects and the grant application process now. But we will be back to you. We did this in 2015, so it's up again, and we anticipate doing it in 2000 again this month. So we're hoping that the committee will support that.
What is fund for?
It's for transit. It's called 5311 funds. They're FTA money. They're rural monies, and the county is unique. I shouldn't say it's unique, but we're in a unique situation. We are literally part of three different areas. We're part of something called the TMA, which ties anything basically south of New Paltz into Orange County and Poughkeepsie. It's called the Poughkeepsie-Dutchess and Poughkeepsie-Newbury TMA, which stands for Transportation Management Area. There's over 895,000 people in that, and you become a TMA as soon as you get over 200,000, which subjects us to a whole different series of federal audits. So we're part of that, and we get urbanized money, what they call large urbanized funds from that. We're also part of something called an urbanized area in the city of Kingston. There's about 53,000 people in that. That area is called, it's UZA 457. That area gets small urbanized area funds for transit. And then we have the rest of the county, anything outside of those areas, which is, think Ellenville, all of Shandaken, all of the Route 209 corridor is rural. So we're eligible to pull from three different funding sources, and we do that all the time. We are asking for money for all the time to make sure that we can meet the capital needs of the transit agency. One last thing, if I may, is two things, if I could. I want to echo Suzanne's comments with respect to the uptick in economic activity. The County Planning Board is seeing a lot more referrals than we saw, and we're starting to see those referrals for rehabilitation of older buildings, particularly for apartment uses and residential uses in urbanized areas. When we talk to local planning boards, they're telling us they're seeing a similar uptick, but what they're not seeing is subdivisions in rural areas. We're not seeing those subdivision activities take place in rural areas. There's one major exception of that, and that's Rochester. The town of Rochester is actually seeing some fairly significant subdivision activities up there, where we're seeing housing constructions which are in the $1 million range.
The average income per capita is $122,000.
So we are starting to see small retail activities, apartment activities, and rehab activities in existing structures. We are seeing those. I just wanted to echo that.
Can I ask him a question?
Yes.
So this relates to our next resolution, which is the economic development strategy, Ulster tomorrow. So
when did we start that? 2007?
It was adopted by the legislature in 2009 as an element of the comprehensive plan.
So, just
2010, don't
just
quote me on
in
that.
Retrospect, you know, and maybe this is a question that needs to be answered in a longer conversation than at this committee meeting, but I'm interested to know if you had to do the plan over again, knowing what you know of the recession, how would you consider doing it differently, considering that we might be due for a course correction in a couple of years? Again, I mean, we might be, I'm just saying, we're not going to heat it up. It's a lot like what we were seeing back then. How do we plan for the coming years?
I think the plan did a fairly decent job of planning, of planning for the lean years. I think one of the things that taught us a significant amount of lesson was the downsizing of IBM. And the focus of the plan itself was diversification. So one of the things that Suzanne talked about was the different elements of economic development and the different sectors or areas or strategic focuses that you could use. And I think that was really good in the plan. And I have to say, if I would look at it differently now, and this is where I think that USITA and the economic development folks are doing a good job, is the strength of the economy as it relates to the urban area to the south of us. I think if you look at what's happened relative to quality of life decisions being made, is we are now the found environment north of the city, and we're becoming the first stop, and have become, not becoming, we have become. The Woodstock experience that was here from the 70s and 80s, which is that sort of that free culture, has now evolved in terms of a quality of life culture with people making decisions to spend significant amounts of time here. And the technology economy, the legislature's discussion about broadband and broadband discussion, and the technology economy, and the food economy, and the striving for those kinds of quality of life has really helped us. And I think that would be one of the things I would focus on. The other thing I would focus on is the literal change in demography. One of the things I think that we all need to take sort of stock of is the closing of elementary schools has an effect moving forward in terms of your community college, your other college work, and your ability to find certain individuals in the labor force moving forward. That hasn't hit us yet, but one of the things that's happening nationally, and I think it's happening here, is the idea of what happens when that demography hits and how do you grow with an older workforce that begins to retire. And how do you keep that workforce involved? How do you look at their skills? And that's OET work. How do you look at their skills and update their skills? They're not those kids that grew up essentially playing video games. Mm-hmm. And then all of that begins to start to say is that a concerted effort, brain gain, whatever you want to call it, but a concerted effort to essentially make sure that if we train somebody, there are parents and others that are spending a substantial amount of money and to train their folks in colleges in New York State and elsewhere, and they come back here and we take that money that we've invested in those individuals and we ship it out of town. We ship it to Texas, we ship it down to Raleigh, we ship it in other areas. That's to take our best and brightest to do that is really something we need to think about and to deal with that. And so that focus on the tech sector, that focus on those talented artists that are here, that focus on the niche industries, niche manufacturing industries. Those are the kinds of things I think that we can continue to build on, and also the focus on the fact that there's a reason for them to want to be here. There's something to do.
And you're referring, as you did earlier, also to the quality of life in walkable communities.
Yeah, I mean, the exec said it really well when he said we can have economic development and open space at the same time.
Before we just, we never voted on resolution 119.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Well, there's nothing further on the resolution. To Dennis, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously.
Just to follow up on that, I just was wondering if these elements could be something that you would see going into an update of our economic development strategy.
One of the things, the question I think we'd ask ourselves is, do you want to update the strategy as a whole? Do you want to update the sectors? Do you want to do more of a detailed discussion on the sectors? And one of the things that the economic development folks are currently doing is the food sector and the farm sector. Do you want to look at that and say, is that, does that have a use in other areas?
I'm much more interested. What I'm getting to. Right. I'm much more interested in an approach in which we're sort of nimble, quicker, lighter, cheaper, because we have the expertise to do analyses within the framework that we already have. So I'm just trying to find a way that we do move this forward, but in a way that works for the realities of the what it is we need. So if it's in the sectors, that's fine. I think there are some big picture questions, like the way people are moving and choices they're making, but I'm not sure that hiring a big firm to do a huge economic analysis along the lines of what we did with Ulster Tomorrow is the right approach. So I'm just looking for maybe Dennis's suggestions on what would be the scope of such an analysis.
Mm-hmm. Hector?
Thank you. You know, Jennifer, I appreciate this discussion, but it's also at a certain point, I've said this to you before, we already know the values that are being placed because you can look at what the EDA and what the administration is spending money on, right? So, they clearly already have a plan without stating that they have a plan.
Well, then let's put it into words.
And which is what we had advocated for back in December.
So I think that's wherever that goes, I don't know if we have to we have to determine that with this resolution. I think the resolution is intended to give the Office of Economic Development and the Planning Office the room to make that decision.
And they've expressed reluctance to actually putting pen to paper, even though they already have everything that they can to go and do that.
I don't know, Hector, if that's a fair analogy. We've had several.
I said reluctance. I didn't say that they wouldn't. And when we had a meeting, they said that they didn't have the time to do that.
Well, as you have been given everything you asked for. Jennifer, if you'd like to sketch something out, a framework.
Well, I'm suggesting what I'm suggesting we do is between now and next month, if it would convince the committee to move this forward, if it could include something that...
My understanding, Hector, you were going to postpone this tonight.
What's that? Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to move it right now. Also tomorrow?
Right, but what I'm asking for is that between now and when we eventually decide to move this forward, because I think that every good business deserves to think big picture and needs the time to, in fact, not trip itself up by just focusing on the day-to-day. There needs to be a strategy, and the strategy needs to be revisited every once in a while, mm-hmm. even if it's not a $200,000 strategy.
Yeah.
It can be a retreat that allows them to just think back on what worked and what didn't work. But I would like to see that kind of framework coming forward from these offices, if that's possible, so that we can help and, help guide the mission. Our job, right?
But I think what you're asking, why don't you put pen to paper and draw out a framework of what you think you would like to see?
If it's possible to sit with the staff to do so, I think I would like that.
Okay.
Mary, can you make the request to Mr. Crennel and Ms. Holt for Legislator Berkey and maybe myself to go and...
What about Legislator Maloney or anyone else?
I don't know if you want to go
there.
I
mean, anyone who wants to be there. I just think it would be nice to...
Yeah, I mean, just the invitation now.
Yeah.
Please include me. Moving on.
So do we have to vote on postponing it?
We're not there yet.
We'll get there.
If I may, Jennifer, continue the agenda back here.
I'm sorry. I'm just totally on the topic.
New business, a future resolution establishing a policy to require further examination. Hector has put together a resolution for discussion only.
And so I would probably just say, just have it and absorb it. And
right. I think possibly maybe we should have Bert. I haven't read this, Hector, but Legislator Lauren, I believe it was a month or so ago, put in a resolution regarding tax sale parcels. You have to know that, believe me, if you live next door to a property going up for taxes, you receive quite a few letters from Ulster County.
Understood. If I may, hold on. Well, that's what I'm going with.
And first, the list goes to every town's building department, and they're asked, and then that goes to the supervisor who has to sign it and send it back to the county if any of the municipalities would like any of the properties. Okay, so I'm just saying everyone should be aware of the procedures that's in place.
So,
I mean, Legislator Lauren's resolution actually probably weakened what they do already.
So this was done for discussion purposes deliberately, just so you know, so that's why it's not to be, you know, not to get too deep into this right now, but because we can maybe discuss it next month.
Absolutely.
But that said, you know, it also builds off of work that we did in 2007. This legislature actually passed a policy with regards to what we would do with, you know, parcels that had to go to, you know, to a tax sale, and part of that process, you know, included a whole multi-steps in terms of whether the parcel's highest best use was for economic development, for environmental protection. It went through a litany of different things. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the committee even met. It was actually pretty wide, you know, pretty wide ranging, and in fact, actually produced the report back to this committee, as a matter of fact. And to be very blunt, it happened, I think, either once or twice, and then it sort of just didn't happen again post charter. So it's as part of at least to kind of begin that conversation again. So that's all.
Very good.
All right.
Resolution, we will bring this up next month. Resolution 170, or the heck are you going to postpone this?
I move to postpone, Mr. Chairman.
I move to postpone. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 326, establishing a policy for Ulster County bus.
I move to postpone it.
One thing, Hector, yeah, I don't, whose resolution is?
That is actually Dave.
That's Dave's?
I believe. And he said at caucus last night to, because he's been away.
I understand, but we've been carrying this for quite a while.
He's not here, so.
No, I understand it, but when we met with Dave over at I asked, and it was last summer, okay, and I asked the question of then-Commissioner DiBella, and how many buses are on the road at noon on any given Tuesday, and he said 20 or 21, and only 5 or 6 of them have advertising on them. There's plenty of room if somebody wants to get advertising for a, you know, you follow me? That's what I mean. I don't want to carry this suitcase with us.
Okay, I understand that, but I'm just going to say to you right now, I mean, if it gets defeated in committee,
then we're going to... No, I'm just saying, we've been hearing about a plan.
Oh, got it, yeah. And I'll
for 6-8 months?
We did ask for figures we did not receive.
And I understand there was conversation. Yeah. What I had asked Mr. Crennel for, all I asked for, how much money are we talking about? That's the only thing he gave me. It's about 50 grand. I believe it was 50. Okay, there was no, you know, I said, Ken, how much money are we talking about in revenue here?
But you also understand that part of the genesis of this, at least with certain people, was using the buses as PSAs, right? Because we do spend money on billboards and that kind of stuff.
You've got Planned Parenthood, you've got, and we have to separate the city buses. Because from what I understand, you might be looking at a city bus, not a county bus.
I understand that. And in fact, I'm the one who actually pointed out to him that it was a city bus.
Right.
Because I also knew what ad he was talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got 3/4 of the buses that are available for PSA.
Right.
Hypothetically, but it depends on, for example, we actually spend money for billboards for PSAs now. That we actually end up spending from our end to go put up on a billboard when we're like, oh, wait, well, you've got a bus that is hypothetically a roving billboard, right? So
why don't they do it then?
Right, that's what I mean.
No, and that was part of our And again, I'm not here to go speak for Legislator Donaldson, but I know that that was one of those items. So
that proposal is to do away with the revenue generating.
Which one?
Roving billboard.
Right. I'm not
to put these, but we have blank ones now.
But it's
so
not
let's,
that re- it's not
we can do both and still get the revenue for account.
You're not getting that much revenue from them.
That's what it comes down to. Grand.
No, but that's in total. I'm talking about, but each bus is maybe like. You're getting it's small amounts. So we actually had that at the committee meeting at IS. As a matter of fact, we not only reviewed what agencies were in fact actually advertising on there, but also the dollar amounts. It's really not that much money that we're getting back in. So there was that argument of, well, maybe you don't spend the money on PSA billboards and instead we spend it on doing wraparounds, right? That said, I'm not here to go speak for Legislative Donaldson.
No,
we're going to hold off on it.
We're just talking, but
yeah,
you know,
if we got 20 buses that are blank that we could put the wraparounds on,
right?
Well, let's do it.
No, but why don't you want Bosch and Keegan? You know, that's the
saying to give it to somebody else who's going to pay.
Right.
Well, but then you're paying for that as opposed to paying for a billboard.
Okay.
And
just so everyone knows, I mean, the money that goes in per federal law has to be used for the parts or rehab of the buses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, before we go, ma'am. I'm sorry that before. It's just.
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. If you'd like to say anything, you can tell me I'm a.
Did we make a motion? Did we make a motion on resolution 320?
I moved to postpone it.
And Mary Beth seconded it.
Then we need to vote.
All right.
I just have a quick question for the meeting that you guys were talking about doing, just so I can. What exactly do you want me to, when I circle back to Suzanne, I just want to make sure I'm asking her the correct question.
The three amigos, yeah.
Yeah, we just want to, we would like to just talk about outlining a strategy for an update to Ulster Tomorrow.
Got it.
I feel like we've actually had that meeting before.
No, but we did not put something down in writing that everyone agreed to.
Yeah, sure.
Correct.
And I think at this point, no. Well,
I'm going to try and do it in a very nice.
Actually, we have indirectly, but we won't get to that. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I second. Mr. Litz, move to adjourn.
Mary.
I forgot my place
there. Thank you.
Are you actually Mary Ann?
It's Mary Ann, but I go by Mary.
And do you use
I do, actually.
That's how I found out. I saw that you're on the list.
Yeah,
but they have attorneys marked as non-attorneys.
Yeah, but you noticed that? Yeah, I know. And that
well, that's because
I mean,
that they must
sense.
Be in,
I'm
in a department.
I use Westlaw.
Well, but that's like,
no, but three of the guys are attorneys, and they said non-attorney.
Because their role is not as an attorney, but they happen to be attorneys. Like, for example, that's why you Debbie had not yet passed the bar, and yet was listed as a non-attorney, and I'm like, okay, wait, because you're an intern at the time.
See you next week. When are we in? Tuesday? Wednesday?
What's that? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday
session.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Is it on? Is it on, Mary?
Did you see Carl Chipman?